You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning.
Sorry I've been gone so long. We, as you know, Breadbox Media stopped its live stream and now we're sharing podcasts. My plan is to start a YouTube show called A Seeking Heart, and that should roll out in June. Had some technology that we needed to purchase and prepare, and my son's going to be producing my show, which is really cool because he's the one that is kind of not on speaking terms with God right now. So I'm praying more than anything that this is part of God's plan to bring him back, but to the church, that is, and bring him back to him, just to believe in him again and to open his heart to him. But even if it's not, I think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity and experience to do this with my son. My son's 21, and I am sure if you have any children at all, especially if they're getting older, you kind of start to see they get kind of independent on you. I really miss the days when my kids were strapped into a car seat. I knew exactly who they were with, where they were, and what they were doing at all times. And at one point, they just grow up. And they drive, and they are 21. They can go out and have a drink with a friend, and they work. They go to school, and you lose touch with them. And we were a homeschool family for many years, so I was really involved with them, and I miss them. So anyway, that's what's coming. It's the new YouTube show, still called A Seeking Heart, with Allison Gingras. The channel is Allison Gingras, and I will make all of that available and all the information, the links, everything, and it's going to be live. We're looking at Sunday and Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. I'm pretty sure that's what we're going to do. The Wednesday night is the one that's a little iffy because my son normally works at 9 o'clock on the Wednesday night, so we're just trying to get his schedule rearranged. Another reason that we're kind of putting things off because I don't want to start and then not be able to find us live. But the show will also be turned into a podcast, which you'll be able to find over on breadboxmedia.com. And of course, always everything can be found on reconciledtoyou.com. That's reconciled with a D, TOYOU.com. And I also have AllisonGingras.com somewhere. I really need to link everything to it. So if all you can remember is my name, all is on. And if you drink too much gin, you end up on the grass and you lose an S. Allison Gingras, that's me. Then you'll be able to find everything that's going on, the talks, the writing, the podcast, the YouTube show, all the things that the Lord has put on my heart to do to share his love with you. So that's really what I feel called to do. If you're new to listening to A Seeking Heart and you're like, what is this woman going on and on about? Well, I just pretty much go on and on about stuff, but the stuff is always about God, being drawn to him, getting to know him, and knowing how much he loves you, getting to know him through his word, through the sacraments, through prayer. I love scripture, starting to really spend more and more time with scripture and wanting to share that with you. Today, however, I have a very special reason for doing this podcast. I wanted to share the month of May and God's perfect timing and just the struggle that May has been, but yet the fruitfulness, the absolute overwhelming amazingness that God has brought to my heart, how much further he has brought me into my faith and closer to him with the experiences that I've had in the last 4 weeks. So the show ended at the end of April, and I've been long putting off getting a mammogram. Not a fan of doctors. Don't go to them often. As you know, I've been struggling with stomach issues and eczema, and my hands were just a mess. Not to be graphic, but they look like hamburger and my fingers look like little sausages. I mean, I like myself some meat, but my hands weren't exactly what I had in mind. When I say I like that, but it was bad and I was ignoring it. And I also, I think it's been 5 years since I had a mammogram. There's no breast cancer in my family and no history. And I just get scared. I'm a hypochondriac and I'm also an anxiety ridden, scaredy cat of a woman. So I try to avoid all of this stuff. So I made my appointment since the show was done and now I had time. I went for a mammogram and the technician said, all looks good. You're good to go. And the next day I get I go just check on my file online and it said abnormal mammogram. That's a scary word, by the way. Very scary. Everything went numb. My hands went numb. I couldn't think. Mouth went dry, heart racing, not words you want to see. And I had to go back for an ultrasound 2 days later. And, you know, I'm always asking the Lord, guide me, teach me, let everything be a lesson that draws me closer to you, that helps me draw people closer to you, that teaches me something. But there's also that human part of me that's like, but I don't want to be sick and I'm petrified and I just need your comfort. I remove this cross, Lord, just take it away. I got led into the ultrasound room. Now, butterflies, especially blue butterflies, been a part of my story since adopting my daughter Faith back in 2007. The butterflies began. Long story short, I was sitting in her room before she came home. She's adopted from China, and we were waiting for her. And we kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And it was July, and I was sitting on her floor praying the rosary. And my husband had gone out with my boys for the day, and I just felt like it was never going to happen. Like we kept getting delayed. I was told in April I was getting her. Here it was July. I was being told now we wouldn't be going till October. And my heart was aching to be with my daughter. And as I'm praying, I hear this weird noise out the window. And so I pull back the curtain and there's the giantest, biggest butterfly I'd ever seen. Now we know the butterfly didn't make the noise, but there it was in the window. And from that day forward until I met my daughter in November, November 2nd, I saw a butterfly every single day. The word butterfly, the picture of a butterfly, an actual butterfly. It was crazy. And then it stopped. And then when in China, there was something wrong with her paperwork. I wasn't sure we were going to be able to go home when everybody else went home. And I was praying on the way to the consulate to sign the papers and do our oath and to take her, make her ours. And a little yellow butterfly went by the window. And I just had this sense of peace and everything worked out. And ever since then, when I really start to get panicky and scared, the Lord seems to send me butterflies, which is such a beautiful gesture from God. Like, think about it. With the God who decided to make himself physical in Jesus, would he then decide or choose to remain invisible? I don't believe so. I believe with all my heart that he makes himself, that if he made himself visible, he continues to make himself visible. And that's different to each of us and however we see him. I mean, I see him in purple roses and in butterflies and in Mack trucks. I don't know how you see him. And for some people, the sight might be just in their heart. They might be a word they hear or a person they see or just a feeling they get. Then they just know that God is with them. But I'm a person who needs to see. I'm a physical being and God created me this way. He knows that I need to see and touch and feel and hear. Like he gave me senses for a reason and I need to see him. And of course I wanted to see those butterflies and think I am okay, but I really just wanted to know God was with me. And I think that was part of this lesson. Like I knew when I laid down on the ultrasound table and I looked up and there was a mobile of butterflies over my head. I thought, well, that's a godsend. Like that just doesn't happen. Who puts mobiles of butterflies over ultrasound machines, right? So for me to be in that office and that, you know, on that table with that over my head, there's other offices. Like, I feel like you can't just exclude that stuff or, you know, to think it doesn't happen. But you have to really think, like, I'm praying and God is with me and he knows I need to see something and here's my sign. But as I was lying there, I felt this real sense of either my guardian angel, perhaps a saint or my grandmother's from from heaven, or even one of my, in my heart, I feel like it was one of my two children that I lost before they were born. One was ectopic and one was a miscarriage. I felt like it was one of them speaking to my heart and saying, you're going to be okay, but you're going to have to really wait for this answer. And considering this was like May 3rd and I got the answer yesterday on May 21st, that was a long wait. And for me, that was excruciatingly long wait. But the beauty of it all was that God was so at work in every single moment of my day. And I'm going to just back up a minute and get back to what I, get back to all of that in a minute, because it all ties together. There's so much to share with you. I couldn't possibly tell you all in the short half an hour podcast that I'm sharing with you now. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to write it all up so you can follow the story on reconciledtoyou.com. It should be out sometime this week. And this week being May 22nd, 2017. So I have the ultrasound, but the amazing thing, and they tell me that I have an enlarged lymph node. That was what they saw. There was nothing in the breast, just an enlarged lymph node. Well, that caused me to go home, and the doctor reading the x-ray even said to me, because he went to shake my hand, and I kind of recoiled because I can't, at that point, really couldn't touch anybody, any doors, anything. I had really deep open sores. My hand was very sore to the touch and incredibly inflamed. And he said, anything can make a lymph node enlarge, including it could even be your eczema. So I get home and I call my primary care and I said, I really think it's time for me to go on some antibiotics for my hand. And I explained the hand and he's like, yep, let's get you on some. And, you know, follow up, and I had to follow up in a week for a biopsy on the lymph node just to make sure. Now, here's the really wild part of this entire story. 2 days before the initial mammogram, out of nowhere, I decided to pray to Father Solanus Casey. Now, I've prayed to Father Solanus before. I don't even know how I discovered him. I think I have absolutely no idea. I'm not even going to try to remember. But I know that I do have this great book about him by Michael, Father Michael Crosby, and it's called Thank God Ahead of Time. I talked about it on the show many, many months ago, maybe even years ago. And I am not somebody who reads a book from cover to cover. I'm terrible like that, especially biographies. I let the Holy Spirit guide me. So what I do is I took that book and I just said, show me what I need to know. So I skipped like his whole biography part and just really went into his ministry. Like, I always look to the saints for help with my work in ministry. And so I read a lot about his spirituality, this whole thanking God ahead of time, and his humble obedience and giving of himself to God. But I didn't know much about his birth or his death. I do know now that he was born in Wisconsin. He is an American, soon to be an American saint. That's pretty neat. He died in Michigan. He was a Capuchin Franciscan, which so isn't Cardinal Sean O'Malley. I'm from the Boston area, not in the Boston diocese, but close enough. Got to see Father Cardinal Sean this weekend, actually, as my friend Father Kevin Lever was ordained. That was pretty amazing. And he's also from the same order as Padre Pio. Now, Padre Pio plays a very significant role in my life, as my the cross that I wear around my neck was blessed on his glove, on his one of his gloves, his relic. And I was giving a talk once many years ago, and the man there, he had a great strong devotion to Padre Pio. And he said, I always pray for our speakers ahead of time for Padre Pio to be with them. He was like, the weirdest thing, I started to pray for you. And I felt like Padre Pio was already here, which of course gave me goosebumps from head to toe. And I told him about the necklace that I was wearing. And he came up to me a short time after and he said, I really feel this strong connection with you and Padre Pio. And he wants you to pray to be his spiritual daughter, which I did. I come to find out later that Padre Pio's birthday and my father, my birth father's birthday, are the same day, which would be this Thursday, May 25th. Happy birthday to both of my daddies, my spiritual dad, my biological dad. So Padre Pio, I feel like, always watches over me. And the funny thing is, as I looked at my hands, my son even would make jokes and say, stop being so close to Padre Pio. Look what it's doing to your hands. Because some of the sores were right in the middle. No, I do not in any way, shape, or form think I had the stigmata. I just have eczema. But here is the crazy, crazy, crazy thing. So I pray to Father Solanus, Casey. I go and get the mammogram. I find out I have an enlarged lymph node. I go and get the ultrasound and find out I have to have a biopsy, which causes me to be panic. And finally, after months and months, call my doctor and get on medication for the infection. 2 days later, after that, I'm in the hairdresser getting my hair colored and I'm sitting there cooking. And I'm going through my emails and just, you know, I sit there on the phone while I'm waiting and I get this email announcing that Father Solanus Casey is being beatified. And I keep reading the article and it said, hold on, I need a drink. It said that the miracle that was approved for his beatification was the healing of a skin disorder. And the author continues, which was quite ironical, since Father Solanus died of a skin disorder, a skin disease. Like, what? Wait, what? So I Google Father Solanus. Now, catch this. He died of complications to eczema. You heard that. Complications from eczema. This priest that I pray to for help had died from the very infection that I am 100% sure I was just saved from. My hands were starting to come up with a bacteria infection or staph infection. And it's a pretty long, I can't say simple English words, never mind complicated medical terms. But as I researched and as I read more, I was just overwhelmed by what I knew what was happening. It's not a miracle, but it's called a favor. Like, I had received a favor from Father Solanus that he had, I was going to cancel that mammogram that day because that's what I do. And I had found out that Faith had a half a day and I had forgot about that. So I wasn't going to be home in time. And it meant my husband having to take a day off or come home early. And I'm like, oh, forget it. I'll just go another day. But Father Solanus, he interceded and he just encouraged me to keep that appointment. And in taking that appointment and finding out that, you know, I had an inflammation, finally got me on medication. And look at that. I mean, it's healing. I definitely, so let me tell you what obviously, as I speak, you probably already guessed that the enlargement was from, it was from an inflammation, not exactly sure what yet, but we're going to guess, because we're pretty smart human beings, that it's the eczema, which has been everywhere. And the other thing that was kind of an inclination that the enlargement was inflammation and not cancer was, one, I feel great. I don't really feel any pain or anything. I don't feel tired. I don't feel anything. Not that that doesn't mean anything, but in this case, at this point, I was like, I'm going to trust that. Then I had other lymph nodes that I could feel, that as I took medicine, I could feel going down. Plus, when they went to do the ultrasound for the biopsy, she's like, oh, your ultrasound a week ago showed 2 lymph nodes. I can't find the other one. That one has already gone down. So that was all good news. But, one of the things I want to be absolutely clear about, not only to you, but to me, is that the signs that God sends through the butterflies, I gotta tell you about St. Therese in a minute with the roses, all of those are not meant to answer us. They're not meant to be tea leaf readings or prophecies. They're meant to be signs that God is with us, that God has not abandoned us like he's promised, like he says he won't. But sometimes it's hard for us to grasp our minds around that. Like, we don't see yet, so we don't believe. And I feel a little bit like St. Philip, who just in the last couple of weeks. John 14, that scripture has followed me throughout this entire month. The fact that it was this month's reading is just mind blown. God sentence after God sentence. And he says in it, just show me God, Jesus. He's talking to Jesus and he's saying, hey, just show me the Father and I'll believe. How many times have you thought that? Just show me the Father and I'll believe. Like, make it perfectly clear and you've got me. And Jesus is like, you see him in me. And we see him in his word. We see him in the Eucharist, in their sacraments. And yet we're still like, yeah, I need more proof. It's our humanness. It truly is. It's annoying, but it's how we're created. You know, we're beings that are, again, are of senses. So the idea that God would make himself present in signs, just as he did in the scriptures, just as he did years ago, of course he's going to still do. He's unchanging. The God of the Old Testament, the God is the God of the New Testament, is the God of our lives today. He is no different. So for him to show himself in these butterflies, or however he shows you, I've heard people say they see him in, what do you call those little things, ladybugs, or in dragonflies, cardinals. Like, there's been a cardinal parked outside my window for the first time in 20 years, and I've had kind of a fun time trying to figure out, like, are you part of this whole this whole thing, or are you just like our tree? You have to be also very careful not to read into them. Like, I sit back and go, okay, is that a coincidence or a godsidence? Am I reading into this? You know, the mobile of butterflies over my head at the ultrasound was pretty neat. Then going for the biopsy, and I get there, and the woman has a crucifix on her keyboard that's, checking me in. And then I feel like this nudge in my heart, look to the right, look to the right. And I look up and their stationery is covered in butterflies. And I thought, that's interesting. So I tell her this story. And then I end up telling the ultrasound, the technician, about the Father Solanas story. Oh, just to make sure I wasn't confused that Father Solanas had helped me. Just as I'm reading all of this, that he's being beatified, what the miracle was, that I'm Googling all about his life. As I'm doing all of this, I get an instant message from a friend saying, hey, I just posted about Father Solanas Casey's beatification coming up. Hey, did you know I had his relic? Now, oh, and then he sends me the link to the relic, and I have the same one. I totally forgot. It's a relic badge from the Father Solanas Casey Guild, and I totally forgot that I had it. Let's just say I may or may not have slept with that little badge inside my bra. So I put Father Solanas' face outward, right over the place where the enlarged node was. But that whole thing is like God saying, I am with you. Father Solanas saying, I brought your prayers to God and he hears you. But the whole time, and this is what I started to say I wanted to be sure of, I never once assumed that I knew God, what God was doing. I never once assumed that I was going to get the good news that I got. I never assumed that I knew what God was up to. All I did was try every day to accept the peace, because that trusting in God is trusting regardless of your circumstances. Like, that's the true gift of that, of any valley or any trial, is that we come out trusting God more, having more peace regardless of the outcome. And I knew that God wasn't going to give me an answer until I learned that lesson, until I had peace in whatever God wanted to bring me. Because the funniest thing is that my doctor was never convinced everything was okay. And just as I would get sure and calm, he'd send me a message or call me and get me all upset again. He's like, well, I think we're on a spectrum. We're not at the cancer stage, but we're also, I don't think, out of the woods stage. I think we're somewhere about in the middle. And he's like, I think we're going to find some cancerous cells there, some precancerous cells there. And he had me a mess, which is why I think I'm going to find a new doctor. Pray for me to find a new doctor. Because he's a wonderful man. He is. He's a good Catholic man. But I just think, and okay, so also, I know this is such a crazy long story, but I really think that's something God wants me to share with everybody. So here we go. But But also during all that, I got an email from my friend Susan Tassoni, who's been on the show, the Purgatory Lady. And in it, she just shares with me this quote from Saint Jacinta. And in it, Jacinta says, doctors would have more success in treating their patients if they only allowed God into their practice. I'm kind of paraphrasing. And that brought me such peace. And then Susan's like, I don't even know why I sent this to you. I just felt like I was really supposed to. And then I shared with her what was going on. And she's like, praise be to God in the heavens, because that again is this whole just sign that God is with us. Like there is a heaven, that there is saints and they intercede and they help for us. And there's this whole world beyond a veil that we can't see. And you know, also coming out of this was this idea of fear. And, you know, I was reading this book. I can't think of the name of it right now. I can see the cover. I'm doing a review on it. So go to reconciletoyou.com. You can read more about this book from Franciscan Media. God is Not Fair, I think is the name of it. But in it, he talks about how when an enemy wants to win a battle against his foe, he uses fear. Like fear is a controlling substance. Fear cripples you. It paralyzes you. And I had just written that in my notes after, you know, I was reading the book and he wrote the word fear and I thought fear is crippling. When I first got that first email saying that I had an abnormal mammogram, fear crippled me. I didn't work all day. I couldn't do anything. Even that night I sat like in the fetal position on the couch watching television, just petrified. And not trusting that anything good could come of this, and just sure that this was the end, I was done, not even thinking that death is a reward, not a punishment.
You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.